you. We're joined today by a few special guests from Costa Rica, Japan, and from Spain. We're going to go through Group E, also touch on Germany, talk about the group a little bit, and really get into what to expect in Qatar. So, guys, thank you for joining us. Eddie, let me start with you from Costa Rica. Thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Costa Rica football? I know you are the go-to guy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I got basically two places you can find me. Twitter and Instagram is at CRC Football. And a lot of it, what I do is more data analysis based off of the years of collection that I did with Opta Sports. I kind of created some proprietary grading system of my own. And I basically utilized it to kind of track basically all 300 players in Costa Rica and the domestic league, not anybody that's playing overseas, but domestically, that way I can kind of, you know, find those little hidden gems that that can play against the U.S. in the final round of World Cup qualifying and beat them 2-0 at home. So, you know, being able to find those guys early on, give them a bit of a platform to really tell you about their abilities and what I think they can do on the next level. So, you know, if you follow me on Instagram and you follow me on Twitter, you get a little bit of those hidden gems a little bit early on.
Awesome. For those that listen to We Global Football or follow us on Twitter also, we're huge data guys as well. So really excited to have Eddie join us and talk some numbers and statistics too. So welcome. Alex, thanks for joining us. Why don't you give us an intro and tell us a little bit about yourself and your Japanese connection?
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here, guys. So I'm Alex, Englishman based in Tokyo for the past 10 years. I cover mainly the domestic Japanese league, both the men and the women, because we have a very strong women's league and a women's national team here, right? They have a World Cup under their belt. But yeah, I've been doing that for about 10 years, you know, writing for various kind of outlets about the J-League or about the Japanese national team. Behind the scenes, I'm doing a little bit of data stuff with Sport Radar. This is live at the stadium, in-play data scouting, this kind of stuff. And so yeah, if you want to find me, it's mainly Twitter, to be honest. So abishop32, and you can see yeah, a few of the topics that are covered there. And yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Alex. And Panos.
Hello. So like, I'm Greek, as you can hear. I'm not Spanish. I live in Spain. Over the last 5 years, I work for the Spanish version of Marca. And I'm also the Spanish football correspondent for Gazeta, the Greek Gazeta. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter mainly too. It's Panos88K. And thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, so thank you all for joining us. Panos, I'm going to start with you and talk about Spain a little bit. Clearly one of the favorites in this group. We've had some conversations around European teams at the World Cup, and there's not a whole lot of optimism. I think people really are feeling strongly towards Brazil, Argentina, but Spain is a team that keeps coming up as a European team that could make some noise. Where do you think the team is at right now as they head into the World Cup?
Well, all European teams are struggling, aren't they? Like, if you had asked me like 4 months ago, I would tell you totally different things. But Spain, they have been quite decent. What's the problem with Spain? Well, they have some very good parts and some big issues. Their main issue is that they cannot break down low blocks. They struggle with small teams. They struggle with, for example, teams like Sweden, like Poland, and then they can go and beat Italy, or they can go and beat, I don't know, Germany or France or whoever. That's their main struggle. And they have a problem with their defense because of many different parts. Like, for example, the main thing is that their defenders have not played together a lot, like their midfield. So if you want me, I can explain everything and I can talk about the whole team. But like the midfield, as you know, it will probably be Gavi, Pedri, and Busquets, three Barcelona players. They play all together. They play all the games, three Barcelona starters. But then in defense, they are struggling. And like the Spanish press are all over them. And they are criticizing Luis Enrique, who is actually the main star of Spain, which is not very common for them, for any national team, like having your coach as their main star. But that's good for Spain because this guy can soak up pressure coming mainly from Spanish media and say, I'm the main person here, I'm the main star, and then go out, play, and enjoy.
Yeah, I think in thinking of the four teams in these groups, in this group, one of the things that is a little bit different, and we've talked about in some of our other group previews, is really just the connection the players have domestically. There are a lot of nations that don't necessarily have that connection of players playing together, familiarity. But this group actually does. Between Spain, a lot of the national players are playing in Spain. Germany, a lot of the players are playing in Germany, and Costa Rica the same. Alex, Japan's the one I think is not exactly like that, in that Japan does have a bit of a mix of players that are playing around the world. How do you think that's going to come into play in Qatar?
If you compare with some of the other teams, then perhaps it's true that there might not be as much kind of synergy or playing time together. But, if you also look, a lot of them are kind of either in Germany, there's a few in Spain and a few in Belgium. So I think, a lot of the time now, if you look at the two friendlies that we've just played, they were both in Europe against the United States and against Ecuador, right? So I think they have taken steps to kind of address that, doing training camps over in Europe where it's easier to get the stronger players together and this kind of thing. We also had the East Asian Cup back in August. So this is players who are just based here in Japan, who all played together in the East Asian Cup. It was held in Japan. So that was kind of, a good little exercise to get the team playing together. So I don't think we're going to look at a very, very fragmented team that just doesn't know each other at all. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they've played enough football together in the past couple of tournaments. It'll be fine. More where they're going to run into problems in terms of connecting the defense and attack. That's more of a tactical problem that the coach would, needs to address. So that's kind of what I'd say. I don't think it's going to be a significant problem, but perhaps compared to the other nations in the group, they would probably be falling a little bit short.
At this point, Japan's the first nation of all 32, actually, that have named their final squad for Qatar. And you look up and down the squad, and you don't see many players that have single-digit caps. I think there are maybe two or three in total. So I think that is a great point. I think while they don't play together domestically, I do think they're a pretty well-seasoned, balanced team and a pretty experienced team.
One thing I was just going to say, that I haven't actually punched all this into a calculator yet, but I'm going to make a bit of a guess that I think Japan, now that we know the squad, they're going to be one of the oldest teams at the tournament. I think the average age will be around 29. So these are going to be some experienced guys who are, a lot of them were at the previous World Cup or at the Olympics or something like that. So,
Do you think there was anybody left off the roster that you were surprised by when they announced the final 26?
Personally, maybe not so much surprised, but the big name, the big omission that's been doing the rounds on social media was the guy at Celtic, Kyogo Furuhashi, creative attacker, right? So it seemed as though coach Hajime Moriyasu, he left him out, and he's taken in one of the boys that he knows back when he was coaching here in Japan, Takuma Asano, who's playing in Germany for Bochum, I think. Purely, I think that's because the coach knows him better. And I think with Furuhashi, we have enough of those kind of creative talents up front. The guy that he selected from the Celtic boys, who, because there's forward and playing at Celtic, right, is more of a kind of a defensive, physical forward kind of guy that you'd bring on when you're in a kind of a winning position, maybe 1-0 against Spain, right, with 20 minutes to go, who can chase down forwards and get back and do his defensive work. Daisen Maeda is the guy's name. He seems to have gone for him over Furuhashi. But yeah, there's a few, bit of an outcry on social media about Furuhashi's omission.
Great. Eddie, where do you think the Costa Rica team is headed? Do you think they have a squad that's relatively set? Because I think when you look at the Costa Rica roster, it's a bit of a mix. You have guys that are at the end of their career for sure, and then a lot of really young and up-and-coming talent. How do you think that roster is going to really come together when the final 26 is named?
I think to our detriment, it's already pretty much been decided. I feel like when when we started World Cup qualifying, the biggest issue that we had was Luis Fernando Suarez was very closed-minded in his approach and wasn't really open to kind of new ideas outside of what the Federation was giving him, because he was a really late hire. He came in much later than he should have because the Federation took too long to fire Ronald Gonzalez. So to that end, you see a really slow start in qualifying first six games. I think we had, I don't know if it was 5 points, but it was something very minimal. And then after that sixth game against the U.S., we started these microcycles where essentially the league went on pause for multiple weeks so that he can call in a bunch of domestic players and just run mini camps. And that's how he was able to identify some of these younger kids that you would see towards the end of World Cup qualifying, like a Carlos Martinez, a Houston Sala, Rowan Wilson, like little names that you wouldn't really know unless you follow the league very deeply in Costa Rica. And with that, you saw a complete change in our results where, you know, basically the last few games, it was one draw and the rest of them were victories. So when you see that, you feel optimistic about where we're going as a national team, because we're no longer calling up. And we literally did this against the U.S., you know, Christian Bolaños, Alvaro Saborío, Ryan Ruiz was playing significant minutes. His minutes dropped significantly in the second half of World Cup qualifying. So you feel a little bit more optimistic about the direction of the player pool. And a lot of these U20, U23 players that I was excited about will finally get their opportunity. But then, you know, when we get to the playoff against New Zealand, it was a very closed roster. And if you weren't involved in World Cup qualifying, you had no shot of getting into that playoff against New Zealand. And I was willing to give Suarez the benefit of the doubt because these are the guys that got you there, so kind of see it out that way. But as long as he took the next couple of months after that to you know, kind of be a little bit more open-minded like he was in the middle of World Cup qualifying and start to give some of these other kids a shot, or even some names that weren't there, like a Christian Gamboa, who's at Bochum right now. And I feel like what I gave him the benefit of the doubt hasn't really bared out that way, because I think about 23 of the 26 were already decided after we beat New Zealand 1-0. And there wasn't that much wiggle room for we can improve. And then you get a quote from him basically saying there's already one seat on the plane that's filled, and it's Brian Ruiz, a 37-year-old Brian Ruiz, who's already announced his retirement. He's playing his retirement game against Duente in December in Alajuela. And this is the name that you're putting on the plane first. You won't even give that credit to Keylor Navas. You're going to say Brian Ruiz. And I just feel like the roster, because he's so closed-minded, the roster has already been picked. And I feel like All of the 32 teams are going to Qatar to compete, and I don't feel like we're getting that same advantage because of how close this roster already is. There's maybe two or three spots up for grabs, but for the most part, I pretty much know what's going to be there, and I think there are about six or seven names that don't belong there.
Yeah, that's really an interesting dynamic that we're going to see from Costa Rica, because, as you mentioned, World Cup qualifying looked very different in the first half of World Cup qualifying versus the second half. And the things that worked well, it's hard to kind of pull away from, but at the same time, to your point, you were going to Qatar to win. It's not a thing where you're saying, let's just give these players a charity spot and, you know, sentimental value where they played well in the past, but are those really the 26 players that are going to give you the best chance to be successful in Qatar? And it sounds like you think that might not be the case.
No, not at all. I talked to a couple of my American buddies. You know, 2014, the big decision was Landon Donovan was left behind, and Julian Green takes the last spot. He's the one that scores the equalizer in the knockout rounds. And it's like, I love Brian Ruiz and everything he's done for us as a country, but, you know, he wasn't a significant part of his club football coming down the stretch in this past season. So How is he automatically going to get a spot in the World Cup when there's so many more deserving players that can really be impactful when we need them?
Yeah. It will be interesting. I think a number of the rosters are going to be finalized in the next week or so. There's a deadline approaching in the next 10 days where all the teams must make their decision and pick their final 26. I wanted to come back to Panos on Spain and ask, who is someone that you think could sneak into the roster that perhaps isn't your typical expected starting 11, but someone that you think, to Eddie's point about like a Julian Green, might be a last man in or last two men in to the roster that could ultimately make an impact?
That's a very difficult question because Luis Enrique is a bit close-minded too. Like, he has a close roster. Imagine that in the Euro in 2020, the teams were allowed to get, I think, 26 players. It was the first time, and it was because of COVID. And Luis Enrique announced 24 players. So he had two spots. He didn't give away the spot to anyone, although he has many players, like the pre-list. They announced the pre-list recently, and the pre-list was one consisted of like 55 players. Imagine like players like Piqué, who has retired in the last 4 years, or Sergio Ramos, who hasn't played in 2 years, were in that list. But I think the thing with Luis Enrique is that he has like 23 players that you know they're going to be there if they are not injured. And then I doubt that he's going to get 26 players again. He said that, why do I need 26 players? Because I know that 23 players are going to play tops. Then that's it, you know? So I don't expect surprises, to be honest. Like, I think that that's going to be the squad. I mean, if no one gets injured, that right now Spain don't have many problems with injuries, I think that more or less all the injured players will have recovered by then. So I think that it's going to be what we expect.
So I wanted to ask everybody, sorry, Brandon. I did want to ask everybody. So, you know, you come into a World Cup and you have a lot of really tight, really close games. And, you know, this group to me is kind of a tough one to maybe get a read on. I mean, I think on paper, I think a lot of people would say Spain and Germany are going to go through the group. But I think we've seen in times past that there are teams capable of springing a surprise. And as we've already heard in this discussion, you know, there are some teams that maybe, and kind of looking at Spain, but I think Germany could be included in that too, that are not coming into this on like spectacular form. And so I'm just curious to hear from everybody is welcome to weigh in. Maybe we'll start with Panos, but, you know, do you think that this group is maybe ripe for an upset at all? Or do you think it's going to be pretty straightforward?
As I told you guys before, I think that Spain are struggling with weaker teams. So I think that the first game is against Costa Rica. And I think that Spain may have a problem. If they don't find a way to break down the defense, if they don't have like Alvaro Morata or Ferran Torres on a good night, like scoring, they need to score. If they don't score, then behind they're a bit vulnerable. So maybe one counterattack is enough. So, like, to be honest, I haven't seen many Costa Rica games or many Japan games, but I think that they are at a very good level. They are in the World Cup, you know? So I think that, like, if they attack on the counter while Spain are dominating, because nothing has changed for Spain, they're playing the same kind of football, dominating the ball and, you know, the same tiki-taka. So they can have upsets. I cannot say no.
Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as a Japan fan, I kind of like the look of the of our last game against Spain. There's a couple of reasons, but kind of similar reasons as Panos mentioned, that I think Japan could probably make that a bit of a long game for Spain if they really bet in deep. They've got some experienced guys at the back. Maya Yoshida at Schalke, he's going to be there. I'm sure Inter fans will remember Yuto Nagatomo, who's back in the J-League now. He's on the plane, so he's, you know, very, very experienced. He'll be able to hold that back line pretty well. And another point is that if things do go well for Spain, if they get a win over Costa Rica in the first game and then they manage to beat Germany, they could already be through by then, right? So Luis Enrique, he might want to rotate. He might want to save some of the guys who are on yellow cards, give some of the younger players a chance, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think if we're going to get one from Japan's side, I think that would be more likely than Germany. But, yeah, I was with a friend of mine the other day and we kind of joked that it would be just kind of very typical of Japan if they did manage to squeeze a result against Spain or Germany, but then draw or lose to Costa Rica, which would send them out. Maybe Navas would have the game of his life because, you know, Japanese forwards, they do struggle a bit with comp- composure at times when the pressure's on. And I think Japan are looking at Costa Rica as the key game for points, which is no disrespect to Costa Rica. I'm sure they're looking at Japan in the same way. But yeah, so definitely that last game for an upset, I think it's looking probably the most likely for Japan.
Eddie, what do you think? How does Costa Rica match up against Germany and Spain?
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say I'm pessimistic. I just feel like I'm a bit more of a realist just based off of how things have gone since we qualified for New Zealand. The only thing that's given me a little bit of hope, in all honesty, is you, Panos, because the more you talk about how much Spain struggles with a low block, you know, the little bit more I'm starting to talk myself into it, because if we deploy that 5-4-1 low block, I feel like that could relatively cause you guys problems. The only difference is going to be is that it's not really a low lock if Keisha Fuller is starting at right back, and it's very possible that he does, so that there's always going to be that one weak link in the low block that any team is going to be able to exploit. I think everybody's going to look at Costa Rica as the team that would create some chaos in this group, and it would lead to upsets because they'll bring up 2014. But I think Japan is really the one that I would look at that would be realistically the one that could cause chaos, because when I think of the way that Costa Rica played against South Korea in our friendly, it was a 2-2 draw, but it had no business being a 2-2 draw. South Korea absolutely dominated us for 89 of the 90 minutes, and they honestly should have been up 4-0 by halftime. And I think of the style of play that they have and the success that Japan have had against them, I kind of feel like when I look at that matchup, you know, World Cup football is more like prize fights. It's like boxing, right? It's all about, you know, kind of how the styles match up. And I feel like Japan is pretty significant problems, which is why of all the teams here, I fear Japan the most, because I think they could easily exploit all our weaknesses, and it would make us make it very difficult for us to kind of do what we do best. So I think if anybody's really going to create some chaos here, I would lean more towards Japan than Costa Rica.
So I want to talk just briefly about Germany for a second, and you all are welcome to weigh in. Obviously, we don't have a German quote unquote expert on the show, but as I just mentioned, right, they in the last international break they lost to Hungary. They drew with who did they draw with? England, right? And you know, so I will say the one thing I don't think is an issue for them necessarily is scoring goals. I think that they're capable of doing that. But I think maybe defensively they may have some issues in terms of giving up goals. You know, so I'm just curious to kind of hear everybody's thoughts about Germany and how, you know, you think they may do. And actually, I'm going to start with Brandon and see what he thinks, and then he can pass it off from there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would expect them to be a team that is looking to score a good amount, which I think is a bit of a contrast to what Panos was saying with Spain. And I think that more attacking that could cause some problems for Japan and Costa Rica. And so the more that I'm hearing from the rest of the panel here and thinking about it, it's giving me a little more optimism about Germany. You know, we are critical of their recent results, but at the same time, they're playing great teams, right? They're drawing against England. They've beaten Italy. They drew against England. They drew against Italy. They drew against the Netherlands. They're playing really good opposition. And yes, they've not won a lot, but they also really have not lost a lot. And I think they're a team that really has a lot of optimism. You look at their roster, you see players that Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané, Timo Werner, who took a knock today and could be a little bit injured, but we'll see how that goes. I think they have some really good forwards that are going to be looking to score a lot of goals. So I'm expecting Germany to have a really, really positive group stage. Panos, how do you feel about that relative to where Spain stand? Because Spain is the one team that actually they reached the Nations League finals. Germany did not. And mm-hmm. Spain came through in the end and defeated Portugal when it was needed. Germany fell short. How are you feeling about Spain relative to Germany?
Well, first of all, I think that, I mean, it's a cliche, I know, but especially with the World Cups and the big tournaments, it's like, it's true that the attacks win games, the defenses win tournaments. I don't think that if you don't have a stable, a very compact defense, you can win a tournament. In relation to Spain, like the last game that Spain played against Germany, if you remember, it was like the 6-0 that Spain beat Germany. It was a Nations League game. I don't know if the Germans remember that. What I know is, like, I checked the head-to-head and it's pretty even. It's like Germany have won 9 games, 8 draws, 8 wins for Spain. But what I know is that Spain will know how to exploit defensive issues. And if Germany go to this tournament to outscore opponents, maybe they will not have a problem with Germany, but maybe they will have a problem with Japan. Maybe they will have a problem with another team. I don't think that they are some of the favorites, but you know, Germany. It's Germany. You know, they come here, they come back every 5, 6, 10 years, and then they win a tournament. So I cannot say anything.
Eddie, how are you nervous about Germany and what they bring to the table?
I mean, to be honest, I'm so, I would say, obsessed with Costa Rican football that I really don't get an opportunity to watch anything else. Because when you dedicate most of your days to, like, Guanacasteca against Grecia post-match analysis, you really don't have opportunities to watch anything else in world football. So I'm not going to pretend as if I know anything about Germany. The only thing that I can think of is that they do feel a little bit dogmatic in their approach. And I feel like, off the success of 2014, 2018 was just more of a double down on what got them there. And when you need a plan B, which in most cases, when you get to this level, it's going to be a lot of plan B, plan C, because, you know, teams are going to be taking all this time to take away what you plan to do. And, you know, what do you have coming off your bench that's just going to be a complete game breaker? And are you going to stick to your dogmatic approach and kind of just look square and be like, all right, you go problem solve for us? I don't know if Germany's DNA or identity allows for that. And I feel like when you lack that ability at this stage in a tournament at this level, I think eventually it comes back to bite you. But, you know, I'm the minnow in this group. I have a reason to fear everybody here. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend as if, you know, Germany's no sweat off my back.
I think you raise an interesting point. And I think when you look at the Germany roster, and obviously it's not final yet, I think the depth is something you have to be a little bit concerned about. The starting 11, I think, is very strong. But to your point, if they do get down, or they're trying to see out a game and need some fresh legs, where do they turn to? And I think the depth for Germany could come into play in the group stage, and especially once you get into the knockout stage for sure. Alex, what are your thoughts on Germany?
Well, being an Englishman, of course, I'm obsessed with Germany, right? yeah, I watched the 3-3 draw, and I thought, like, yeah, as everybody's been saying, you know, going forward in attack, they look pretty potent, right? I think they're going to be scoring goals against all of the teams in the group stage. I mean, we've got to remember that the point of the Nations League, this replaced the friendlies in Europe. So, you know, they've had a lot of time to look at kind of what's gone right, what's gone wrong, and reflect. It's two major tournaments now that they've kind of majorly underperformed by their standards. So I don't think it'll be a third. I think they're going to go quite far into this tournament. And if we look at who they're going to be linked with in the next round, should they qualify, I think it could be a fairly easy enough route to the quarters. So I can, you know, I expect them to go to at least to the quarterfinals. If it's going to be much further than that, I'm not sure. But definitely, I think everybody in this group would be fearing that game against Germany most of all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw some numbers out there in terms of the group, just some of the analytics that we run, projecting the group. And so in terms of percent chance to advance out of the group, we give Spain roughly an 82% chance, Germany about a 75% chance, Japan 22%, and Costa Rica about 20%. Alex, Japan, I think, is the team that it feels a little low to me to only be at 22%. I think Japan has been playing well. What do you think about those numbers? Do you think that feels about right, or do you think we're maybe overvaluing or undervaluing some teams?
Well, I've kind of done a little, not put it into percentages like you have there, Brandon, but I've kind of got Germany ahead of Spain to get through, purely because, you know, I think I've got a feeling with Spain. I think Spain are going to, I think they'll get through, but I think, you know, with they're going to slip up. If there's going to be any kind of slip up, it's going to be with Spain and Costa Rica or Japan. And I think that just might kind of knock things, you know, knock the table. It skews it towards Germany a little bit. Japan, yeah, I think 22%? I think that's slightly, in my estimation, that would be slightly unfair. I think Japan do have it in them to, because what I expect Japan to do is to play the team they put out against Germany on match day one. That's going to be kind of like a very experienced low block type team, try and go for the point, keep the goals down, even something like that. Then Costa Rica, it's going to be very, very different. They're going to use a lot of the creative flair. Takefusa Kubo, for example, who's at Real Sociedad, they're going to try and rack up the goals, right? Because it might come down to goal difference. You never know. So I think they'll be looking at that second game to really kind of go for that. And then on the third game, it'll go back to what we saw on match day one against Germany, where it'll be more of the kind of experienced low block defensive type of setup. And I think maybe if they've kept the goals down to a minimum, and say if Germany have beaten Spain soundly, it could come down to goal difference and then Japan get out. I think that's kind of quite an interesting route they would take. And I think there's a fair chance of something like that happening, right? So I mean, I always say, like, we've got four games. Like, Germany have to play Costa Rica and Spain, Costa Rica and Japan, and then Spain have to play Costa Rica and Japan as well. That's four games. If we look at any four games in the group stage across any World Cup, we pick any four at random, probably there's going to be one upset, right? Maybe two, some kind of upset. So there's definitely a chance for something to really skew the tables a little bit. And I think that 22%, it doesn't quite reflect the chaos that Eddie mentioned, right? So, yeah, a bit low in my estimation, I'd say.
I think so too. And that's just my gut feeling. I'll defer to the computer, but, Eddie, what do you think about 20%? Is that light about right for Costa Rica? What are you thinking?
I think if you gave Japan 19 of our 20%, I think that would be a little more where I'm leaning right now. I do think 22 a bit low for Japan, just where I think in goal. The only thing I will be, if goal differential, I don't think Costa Rica is going to be the team that you're going to try and do it against, because, you know, when you look at our World Cup qualifying, I haven't seen an important Costa Rica game that didn't have me stressed out for the full 90 minutes in over a year. Everything, whether it's to our advantage or not to our advantage, everything is within a goal or two max. So running up the score, especially when if you have a 5-4-1 low block, and then Keylor Navas is still Keylor Navas, and I feel, you know, in this region, easily the greatest player in CONCACAF history, and still a valuable player that is probably the most disrespected player in Europe. I always said if Keylor Navas, Portuguese, Spanish, or German, he never would have left Madrid. You know, he would have kept that job forever. But when you're Costa Rican, it's very easy for you to be gotten rid of. So I feel like Japan a little bit underrepresented. I'm not too optimistic about our chances. 20% probably still feels a little bit too high, but I still think that if we go out, we're not going to go out. We won't be a pushover, because I just think, I think defensively, and then the pride that we have going up and down our spine, I don't think they'll allow for it.
The last time Costa Rica played a match where either team scored three goals, it's been 24 matches since that's happened. So 23 straight where neither team got to three goals. So I think the numbers certainly back up your statements for sure. Panos, who do you like more, Spain or Germany coming out of this group, or both?
I think that they are the favorites. It's quite clear. If you tell me who's going to top the group, I would tell you, let me reply after the first game. I think for Spain, it's crucial, the first game. It's big, because like, if they beat Costa Rica, then they will get the confidence, knowing, because it's something in their mind. They know that they struggle with weaker opponents. They know that they struggle with teams who stay back, who sit back and defend. So if they manage to do that, then they will have the confidence to play against Japan and against Germany. And I told you, like, against big teams, against the main favorites, they do well. They know how to do well. And I think that Spain will top the group. That's what I think. And then Germany will be second, just because, as I told you, I think that Germany they know they score goals, but I think that in defense they're more vulnerable than Spain.
Yeah. So how do you how deep in the tournament do you think Spain can go? Do you think they can win the World Cup, or do you think they go out quarterfinals, semifinals, somewhere around there?
I don't really think that they can win the World Cup, but I mean they can surprise us. Like there, it's the semifinals of the Euros. You no one expected that. I think they will go through the group stages, and then they can also go through the next round, because I think if I'm not mistaken, they play with the it's the group of Belgium, yes. Croatia, right? Mm-hmm. I don't see a huge favorite in that group. I think that Spain and Germany are better teams than the teams of that group. So I think that they can go through. And then I mean, you never know. Like I cannot guess, but then it's Brazil, isn't it? If we consider that all the favorites will go through. And you never know against Brazil, because Brazil is a team that you cannot guess. It's like maybe they are solid, maybe they go all the way, maybe they don't go through the group, you know?
Yeah. Alex, wanted to ask you predictions for the group. What do you think is going to happen in this group, and how far realistically do you think Japan can go in this tournament?
Well, realistically, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to say Germany and Spain in that order. Yeah, and then in the next round, I'd say if it's Germany and Spain that go through, I think both of those teams will beat Group F, is it, that we're linked with? Mm-hmm. So Belgium and Croatia, probably, right? So I think Germany and Spain get through both of that and then lose to Brazil in the quarters. Japan, you know, realistically, yeah, it's going to be a valiant effort going out in the group stages would be my prediction. Yeah, I mean, it's a tall order, right, for this group. It seems on paper it's very, very clear cut. There might be a little bit of late drama, but I would say third place would be realistic, and I don't think that would be a bad, you know, depending on how they've played, of course, how they've lost, perhaps. After a valiant effort, I think that would be, you know, something to take away. Yeah.
Eddie, what are your thoughts on this group? Do you like Spain and Germany as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, same as Alex. If you made me bet my house, I'm not going to deviate from Spain and Germany. I just don't think it would be a wise bet. But if I had to take value on Japan, I think I would take value on Japan. I think there would be some pretty good odds on that. I might actually look at DraftKings later and see where they're at. But for Costa Rica, you know, as long as we don't have an embarrassment and we put together 90-minute performances for all three games and we represent ourselves well, then I'll be pretty satisfied. The biggest issue for me is that we already gave our coach an extension going into 2026, you know, after a slow start in World Cup qualifying, after very underwhelming performances and some of those World Cup qualifying matches where he could have really solidified his place as a coach. So now we're looking at how we're going to perform in this World Cup. And if he falls flat on his face and you've signed on for four more years of this, Costa Rica's already proven that they're very reluctant and hesitant to fire anyone because it's going to cost them money that they can't afford. And then you kind of put yourself in the same cycle that you were going into 2022 for no reason. And where does that leave the program going into 2026, where I feel like we have the generational talent that can go on another run like we did in 2014 when you look at some of the U20 players that we have coming up. So I just want something that's going to give me optimism going into 2026. You know, if we can steal a point here or there, provide an upset, play spoiler, you know, I'll be happy with that. But, you know, as long as we're not getting embarrassed, I can't put myself through three matches where we look like we don't belong at all. I don't want that to be the narrative around my team, because then I know inevitably I'm going to hear, well, you know, they relied on a lot of those 2014 legs, when that's really not the case. And part of the reason why I exist is because I got tired of hearing that 2014 narrative, and I wanted somebody to give voice to what's actually going on in Costa Rica. Yeah. So that's why I came to be, is because I got tired of that narrative. So yeah. I'd like to avoid it post 2022, if at all possible.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of CONCACAF, especially, that's a narrative you heard throughout, especially the first half of qualifying. I think it continued through the second half of qualifying, but there were different points where Costa Rica was essentially left for dead, and it was just assumed it would be Panama and not Costa Rica. And things changed, but the narrative, I don't think, really did. I think they got the results, but to your point, there's been a lot of talk about just when does Costa Rica really turn the page and usher in that new generation. Joe, what do you think is going to happen in this group?
Well, I would really love to see Japan and Costa Rica make some noise. And I have, you know, kind of a special affinity for Costa Rica because they are a fellow CONCACAF nation, right? So that's, you know, I'll be rooting for them. But yeah, if I'm being honest, I think we have to take Germany and Spain out of this group. And I would actually take them, I guess, in reverse order of what I just said. I think mm-hmm. Spain will top the group and Germany will come in second place.
Yeah. I definitely like what Alex was saying, especially about those kind of four matches with Spain and Germany against the other two in the group. And it's not just an automatic that Spain and Germany are both going to win both of those matches. I think that there's an opportunity for one or multiple teams to slip up. This to me feels like a group where, again, on paper, we're all saying Spain and Germany. I feel like there's going to be an upset in this group. I don't know if it's going to be Japan, if it's going to be Costa Rica. Even Eddie, as you mentioned, if Costa Rica's playing spoiler, I think this is an interesting group because in some of the other groups, when you look at the schedule and how it plays out, if you have two teams that are, I would say, clear favorites, the schedule doesn't bear out kind of like it does here because Spain and Germany play in the middle and they each play one of Japan and Costa Rica first, and they each play Japan and Costa Rica last. So it's interesting how that sets up because I think Panos made a great point. Depending on how that Spain or Germany match goes, let's say Spain defeats Germany, does Spain maybe take their foot off the gas a little bit and maybe not start their full, you know, expected 11 and get some guys some minutes there? So I'm going to go a little bit off and say Japan actually gets through the group. I think it would be a surprise, but to me, this feels like a group where one of Spain or Germany is going to slip up to me. Could be wrong, but I do like Japan and think they're going to show really well at the tournament. So I'll pick them to finish second, and then I think I'm going to stick with Germany first and say Spain is the unlucky one that misses out. All right. So also wanted to just hear in terms of outside of the group, who is everyone picking? Who do you think ultimately is going to win the World Cup? Eddie, let me start with you and who you think is going to win the World Cup and who you like here.
Man, I've been burned by Brazil enough times.
Likewise.
I don't know what it is. I still think, to me, Brazil is probably the team that I would put my money on. I don't feel confident in that. I could see England annoying the hell out of everybody for a few rounds and making a pretty decent run at it. But I just feel like it's been too long for a team like Brazil not to win a World Cup. And I think this one, you know, being in the location that it's at, it gives me vibes, those 2002 vibes a bit. So I don't know. I can kind of lean towards Brazil finally taking advantage of this generation. I don't think Neymar will be the reason behind it. I don't know if he's made from that cloth, but I think ultimately, if I had to pick a team, because I feel this is incredibly wide open. I don't think they're a true favorite. I would say Brazil first. If not, I would probably lean the Dutch too. I think of all the European teams, the Dutch really, you know, they really look good to me, especially on paper. So those are probably the two teams that I would lean in terms of favorites.
Yeah, I think I feel similar about the Netherlands as well. When you look at, I guess, the Nations League and really how teams have been playing over the last year or so, the Netherlands are a team that, to me, look great. They're scoring a lot of goals. They're competitive. They're winning. And they're really firing on all cylinders. And I think people may try to poke holes in that roster a little bit. in different areas, but the results have been there. And I think taking that kind of momentum into Qatar is really going to serve them well. Also, they have a group that is not all that strong. I think they have a path that sets up pretty well for them. They're a team for me. I've picked them to win. I am actually going to stick with them as well. I agree. Brazil is another team that for me, just, I don't know what it is. I've been burned by them a lot too. And they always seem to, over the last, 20 years, be a favorite and ultimately fall short. And I don't know that we'll see anything different in Qatar. So, Alex, what are your thoughts for the tournament and who do you like to ultimately hoist the trophy?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Brazil, it's one of the hardest World Cups to pick from the outset, but, my money would be on Brazil, just about, One team I've been kind of flirting with is Portugal. They have a pretty easy group. They've just got to get past Uruguay, I think. The squad, with Cristiano, they're probably going to struggle with the similar things that Man United are struggling with at the moment, where he has to kind of play. They have to fit him into the team somehow, and how that affects the dynamic, we don't know. But a lot of their other players, they're all ex UEFA Champions League winners, right? They're playing at Manchester City and other places. So I think, if they can top that group, then I think they're linked with the Brazil group, which would be Switzerland in second, if that's how it pans out. So we're no pushover, but I think Portugal would have enough to get past that. Then I think they go over to the Holland, the Netherlands side, right? So it could be a fairly easier path for them. I'm not very confident at all on that. That's just me kind of being a little bit out of left field, but it's one I've been kind of keeping an eye on. And similar things with Holland, right? They're linked with the England's group as well, so they could get Wales or the United States in the next round. Similar things with Senegal, who I'm not saying we were going to win it or get anywhere near it, but they would be a good underdog pick to get to the quarters or something like that. That you could get some pretty good odds, I think, on Senegal. To get through. Again, if it guns to my head, it would probably be Brazil with a sneaky little bet on Portugal, perhaps.
Great. Panos, what are your thoughts?
Well, I love narratives, so I think Argentina would be my pick. I just watched the Messi video. I don't know if you watched it, like the video of his speech before the final, the Copa America final against Brazil. And I think that Argentina have a solid team. They are a team. They are friends. They are a group of friends going out there and playing football. And I used to support Argentina a lot. I used to like watching Argentina, and I watched Argentina in many tournaments that they were favorites, and they couldn't win the tournament, like in Korea with the Bielsa team, and then again with the Simeone team, and then again in the final against Germany. So they were struggling. If you had asked me 4 months ago, I would say France. It's France. They're gonna win it easily. Now, without Kanté, without Pogba, I don't know, because then they're struggling in defense too. So I don't know. As you said, guys, I think that the Dutch have a very solid team. I think they are the most solid European team at the moment. I have questions because I don't know about like Van Dijk's form or De Ligt's form in defense. As I told you, I think that defense will play a huge role again. So the team who has the most solid defense can win the tournament. And that's why I think that Argentina can win the tournament, because if you check their defense, you're not going to see huge stars. But these guys are defending. Well, they're defending together, and for example, they have a 33 game streak unbeaten or something like that. And you could say the same like for Italy before the Euros. So Italy went to the Euros, they had this streak, everyone was like, okay, yes, but I mean, it's not a big tournament, etc. There is the final, they won the Euros. So I can see something similar happening with Argentina.
Joe, are you going to stick with your pick?
I am. I'm going to stick with Brazil. Yeah. And for all the reasons that everybody's pretty much already mentioned, right? I mean, yeah, they burn us a lot, but I think they're a really solid team. And I just like them. I think they're deep, and I think they're strong, and I think they're motivated. So I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah. I think what we've heard is very similar to some of the other conversations that we've had, is that there's definitely no consensus. You don't hear across the board everyone saying the same teams. Everyone leans in a little bit on Brazil, but I think a lot of people like Argentina as well. And really, it's going to be interesting to see how the European teams do, because there are positives and negatives with each team. And I think there's a lot of pessimism around the European teams and what they're going to ultimately achieve. I think a lot of teams have high expectations and are ultimately going to fall short. So it is interesting. I think it is a wide open World Cup, and I really think there are probably 10 different teams that could win it. I don't think it is, you know, a top two or a top three. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. All right. Well, wanted to thank the panel again for joining us and taking the time to preview Group E here. Just wanted to let everyone know where you can find us on social media. We're at Window INTL Pod. You can find out more things about our podcast, everything international football related. You can find me on Twitter at @we_global, We Global Football, all kinds of international football statistics. Joe at 12th Yank, and you can follow him over there as well. So really wanted to take the time again to thank Panos, Alex, and Eddie for joining us today and walking us through the Group E preview. So thanks again for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.